Let us pray. Father, here we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight. Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you that Jesus Christ, he bled, he died, and then he was buried, but he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. We thank you for the finished work at Calvary's cross. Father, we thank you for salvation, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Lord, we pray as we study together tonight that we as saints in the body of Christ, and if there is someone who hear the gospel of salvation, we pray that they will believe the good news, the gospel, and believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day. Now, Lord, we pray as we study together that we are encouraged and that we are enlightened, that the Holy Spirit enlighten us in these holy scriptures. And, Lord, when we walk away from this study tonight, that we all are edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, so much going on. So much is going on, my brothers and sisters. And I keep saying, so much false teaching is going on also. We have to redeem the time, my brothers and sisters. And I've been studying. I was talking to Brother Rod. We was discussing things around all this, this coronavirus, and we're going to talk about that tonight. I just love God's Word. And I love getting into His Word. I love studying His Word. My wife and I, we were sitting there studying the other night, I have to say this, and all of a sudden, here comes something about, I know it's, things that people don't understand, that we should be, praying that God take away coronavirus and that things like God is judging the world. We're going to talk about that. We won't get through all of it tonight. That's why I thank God that we can, by the grace of God, we can come back again. But I was talking about prayer. The sorrow, sickness, and death men suffered entered the world as the effects of sin, indwelling in the flesh bodies of all men to produce self-serving and evil. We do live in a fallen world, and sin's harmful results are to be expected. Those normal problems of life that fall upon a believer are within the context in which we apply sound grace Bible teaching. We need to be sure that we pray in accordance with what God is doing today in the dispensation of His grace. What is God's attitude towards sickness, difficulties, troubles? That is the view we need to adopt. And then we need to pray in light of divine viewpoint. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our inward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now the Bible says that our outward man is perishing. Look at yourself. Look at yourself and think back 10, 15 years ago. Now look at yourself, and you can see as the gray come, as your eyes get dimmer, as your steps get a little slower, that this old body is perishing, is going back to the dust. Our physical bodies are growing older and weaker, closer to dying. Actually, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 14:15, "What is it then? I would pray with the spirit, and I would pray with the understanding also. I would sing with the spirit. I would sing with the understanding also." You do not have to pray out loud either. Some folks think they need to grab that knee, and like they do in, when they come into the assemblies, and, you see the deacons getting ready, as they say, the deacons getting ready to start the church service, and they grab that knee and fall down on their knee, and all eyes closed. You can pray quietly within your heart, such as thinking or talking to yourself. Pray with intelligence, not ignorance. In other words, like you haven't been taught in the scriptures. When the indwelling Holy Spirit takes the sound biblical doctrine we have learned and believe, he uses it to transform our inner man. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. As God's word works in us, we see things the way God sees them. And we have the mind of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 2:16. When we understand what God is doing today, and that's the biggest problem in these denominations and all these different assemblies and in the body of Christ, when we understand what God is doing today, then we will pray for what aligns with what God is doing. If we do not rightly divide God's word, we do not know what God is doing today, which will render us unable to pray in accordance with God's word and God's will today. Nevertheless, our inner man is renewed day by day. This is our spiritual body, our soul, and our spirit. God's indwelling Holy Spirit interacts with our spirit. Some folks don't know how things connect, because when you don't study God's word, we don't know how things connect. The Holy Spirit interacts with our spirit, giving us spiritual light through the divine words that we read. In other words, you got to have something on the inside in order for something to come out. The Holy Spirit needs something to work with. If there's no doctrine on the inside, what do you have for the Holy Spirit to bring up? We then take that doctrine and we believe it in our heart, our soul, allowing the Holy Spirit to take us and conform our lifestyle to match the word of God. What is the Holy Spirit doing today concerning difficulties, sickness? And we're going to get into that. Paul says, Romans 5:1-5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by the Father into this grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work in patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So it is in our troubled times, in our troubles and trying times, that we can come to better appreciate God's love for us. Difficulties are not something to flee. Grace teaches us to find value in suffering. The weaker we are, the stronger we are in Jesus Christ. There is something far worse than a stroke, a heart attack, pneumonia, broken limbs, brain damage. It is a place that burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever. And all sinners go there forever and ever and ever. If you know a sick, lost person, my dear brothers and sisters, you need to pray for that person's soul salvation. That's what you're praying for. The Bible says that only Paul ministry focused on what God is doing today. God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. He says, for this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. God's will today in the dispensation of grace is for everyone to trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, for every Christian to grow to a spiritual maturity. But what do we have in the body of Christ? We don't have a lot of spiritual maturity. We have babes in the body of Christ. I'm talking about saints that's been saved for over 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And they can't even witness to a lost soul. If you are a sinner, just doing better will not save you. You must believe the gospel that I just mentioned, by which we are saved. My brothers and sisters, tonight, as we get into how should we as believers respond to the coronavirus, we have a spiritual pandemic, and that is more and more saints or Christians are going away from studying God's word, God's way, right divided, and many have gone away from walking in it, and many don't study God's word at all. Many saints in the body of Christ have not come to the conclusion that studying the word of God takes work. And that's what many are not willing to do. But Paul gave us a warning. Paul looked at the forecast of what it's going to look like in the body of Christ. Paul looked out and he saw as he was getting ready to lead his old earth. In 2 Timothy 4:2-4, he told Timothy, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And look at what he said. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Dear friends, since his discovery in Wuhan, China, late last year, we have heard more and more about this infectious respiratory disease known as the coronavirus, also called COVID-19. People are frightened, unsure what to believe and how to react. What should we do as Bible-believing Christians? You will surely be surprised when you learn the answer God's word gives. In this study, you will encounter truths you have never heard before and likely would never hear again. It is this author, it is me as the author of this message that God has given me, and my fervent hope and prayer that you will have a receptive heart. And my brothers and sisters, let us search the scriptures to see what Almighty God has to say. Even in Christendom, there's so much confusion and misunderstanding abound. In recent weeks, many of you have read and probably heard about all the kind of non-cynical behavior among professing Christians. Televangelists, charlatans are acting foolish in videos by many selling supposed coronavirus cures at outrageous prices. Preachers are praying Psalm 91 over their audience, asking God for the angelic intervention and physical protection. In the United States, there was a recent National Day of Prayer where denominationalists, in their sincerity, voiced their pervasive scripture the oddities, being peddled is the ever-present slogan. This is a sign of Jesus' return, is what most of them saying. Look at Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Of course, there is also the declaration God is using the coronavirus to judge the world's sin. The very people who have the word of God and should be generating light and peace, Christians, are often worsening the problem with their rank ignorance and unbelief. Moreover, as Bible-believing Christians, we should look at this from a spiritual perspective and guard against threats to our spiritual health. That is our goal for the remainder of this study, the insidious, crafty spiritual threat. I just want to say something tonight. In Luke 22, God gives Jesus the cup. The cup was given him. That full horror of what was contained in the cup while he was holding it. That's where the agony comes from in Luke 22:44. God the Father held the cup up for him. And he knew what was in the cup. And he took it. Cup of indignation. The response of his justice against the sinfulness and ungodliness and the horror of unrighteousness. The wrath of God against sin was in the cup when the Lord saw it. Are you willing to hold a cup of suffering for Christ's sake tonight? The Christian is to suffer much. Yes, the Christian must suffer troubles. Is that really disadvantaged, though, my brothers and sisters? Let us consider how much the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled for our transgressions. The wrath of man disfigured his outward man. The wrath of God punishes inward man. He gave his life for us. Now we have the nerve to declare we want to avoid suffering for his name's sake. We would prefer a life of ease and carefreeness, totally regarding the fact that we have been bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid our sin debt with his blood. We serve him now rather than sin and Satan. Does it make sense for us to rebel against our master? No. Then why are we refusing to pursue grace living? We do so not because it's logical, but because it's convenient. We want to avoid suffering because we are selfish many times. Our sinful nature is controlling us, and we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. My brothers and sisters, while people may snicker at us for being Christians who rightly divide the word of God, they might frown at us, make rude gestures at us, ridicule us, and shun us. These intimidations should be the least of our concerns. Has anyone ever come to your door, dragged you out, and hauled you off to prison for being a Christian? Of course not. We live here in the United States of America, where our constitutional rights protect our spiritual beliefs, so we can really say that we are persecuted. So can we really say that we are persecuted? Why fear what is minor compared to what others suffer for Jesus Christ? If they are willing and we're willing to endure more, why should we avoid undergoing less? Have the authorities tortured us for being Christians? Has anyone ever torn our limbs apart on the rack? Have they burned us alive at the stake for owning or reading the Bible? Have they starved us to death? Have they beheaded us for refusing to convert to their religion? Have they cut off our arms and legs, fingers and toes? Have they drowned us? Have they beaten us with clubs? Have they pummeled us to death with rocks? Down through the centuries, believers in Jesus Christ suffered such horrendous fates for their faith, and worse. So can we stand? My brothers and sisters, now, one question tonight, and I want folks to get this before we get into this one. During this time of the coronavirus outbreak, we must guard against the plague of false teaching. As always, we remember the Holy Spirit instruction in 2 Timothy 2:15. Physical illness is temporary, but spiritual destruction carries into eternity. As long as we hold the Bible dispensationally, Ephesians 3:2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, would understand that Paul is our apostle or God's spokesman to us in the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace. I'm laying down the foundation right now so you can see before I get to this about the coronavirus. Romans 11:13, for I speak to you Gentiles, that's you and me, if many of you don't know that's listening, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, we're not the Jews. We're not those folks that God sent Moses down into Egypt to get. That's where a lot of folks are concerned. That's where a lot of folks are confused tonight. Paul said, I magnify my office. If we understand and believe God's word concerning our apostle for us, then we will be safe spiritually. Noah was a preacher of righteousness and was God's spokesperson in his day. Moses was God's spokesman when the children of Israel left Egypt. That's not you and me, but that's what a lot of folks think, that those children of Israel, that's us today. That's not us. John the Baptist, Jesus, and the apostle were God's spokesman leading up to the cross. This is during Christ's earthly ministry to the nation of Israel, which includes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and early Acts. Peter was God's spokesman on the day of Pentecost, speaking to the Jews, not us. Paul is our apostle in the dispensation of grace. If we do not handle God's word, God's way, we will inflict great spiritual damage upon ourselves and our audience. There are many misconceptions currently circulating among Christian groups. These ideas are actually far more dangerous than the coronavirus itself, and they should be avoided at all costs. Now, question one, is God using the coronavirus to judge the world for sin? No. A popular slogan during all times of trouble, God is judging the world for sin, is really legalistic. Indeed, Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28, that contain God's warning to catch this tonight, to the nation of Israel, not us, in the body of Christ concerning five stages of chastisement if they disobeyed his covenant of law. Crop failures. This is what happened to the nation of Israel, the folks that Moses went down into Egypt to get. If they didn't obey God, this is what happened. Crop failures, physical illnesses, wars, oppressive enemies, exile from the land, and so on, are just a few examples of these curses. Ignoring their dispensational context, people take these verses and feed them into our dispensation of grace. How careless they are. Many during this time of the coronavirus, quoting Isaiah 59, 1 through 2, it is quoted to support the idea that suffering people are experiencing their trouble because God disfavors them. Look at what it says. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he would not hear. Again, the context is Israel. As she experienced all five stages of chastisement previously mentioned. No nation today is being addressed here, but we are living in the dispensation of grace and not the dispensation of law. Law and grace cannot mix. The book of Galatians could not be clearer. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We are on the grace-based accepted system. Calvary, Christ's finished cross work, giving us favor with God. We are not under a performance-based acceptance system. Our good works giving us favor with God. That ain't what we're under. Whenever someone says God is judging this person, this nation, or the world today because of sin, that individual seems to be voicing spiritual insight, but is really doing nothing but advertising their Bible ignorance. In other words, they haven't been taught. That's what ignorance is, in case someone want to get offended. But guess what? That's in the Bible. The most notable characteristics of our dispensation of grace are God's long-suffering as we deal with physical sickness and illnesses, his grace and mercy. He has been patient in dealing with sin for man. So he has not yet judged sin for man. Through Jesus Christ's finished work at cross work, God has reconciled the world unto himself, not holding their sins against them. Grace. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God certainly is not judging the world for sin today. Through Calvary's cross, and every nation has an unrestricted access to the God of the Bible. He is not hiding his face from anyone, individual, nation, or world. Grace. The divine favor that sinful man does not deserve, and mercy, the divine wrath that sinful man does deserve, are epitomized in the very apostle to whom this dispensation has been entrusted. Look at what Paul said. He said, 1 Timothy 1:13-16, Paul said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and word of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul wrote the above passage as the Holy Spirit guided him. Also known as Saul of Tarsus, he was the bitterest enemy of Christ in the nation of Israel, really the whole world. He blasphemed against the Holy Ghost, refusing to listen to the Spirit of God as he preached through the 12 apostles during the early Acts period. Saul encouraged his nation to continue resisting the Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, should we name and claim Psalms 91. Look at what it says. A lot of folks, certain people have presumptuously taken Psalm 91 and prayed over their congregations, their homes, and even their planet. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now, what I'm reading, this is not for us in the body of Christ, for those who are listening. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowl and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover, that's what folks getting caught up at, right? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and on his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence, there it go again, that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh by thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hand, lest thou dash thy foot against them. You can see why coronavirus prayer wars like this passage. Notice the references to noisome, serious pestilence, verse 3, pestilence, verse 6, and plague, verse 10. The guardian, this will be the last one. Well, I'm going to do one more. The guardian angel, people name and claim this passage, as well as on the basis of verse 11 through 12. Psalm 91 was the very scripture that Satan used against the Lord Jesus during his temptation. Matthew 4, 5 through 6, Luke 4, 9 through 11. Furthermore, it is significant that the Lord did not follow Psalm 91. Even though it's in scripture, Satan had perverted it, misquoted it, and ripped it from his dispensational context. Psalm 91 is so heavily abused today, even today, as we can see through our religious circle. Jesus knew it was a second coming passage, not a first coming passage. It did not apply to his earthly ministry, and it does not apply to us either. Indeed, here is proof that we can quote the Bible and still be out of God's will. Psalm 91 does not belong in our dispensation. And here go another question. Should we name and claim 2 Chronicles 7:14? Of course, we cannot forget the 2 Chronicles 7:14, for it appears in religious context when tragedy strikes. If my people, which I call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. The Jews are referred to as my people, not us saints in the body of Christ, by God in Exodus 3:7. They are referred to as the children of Israel in Exodus 31:13. They are referred to children by Jesus in Matthew 15:26. His people in Luke 1:6-8. They are his peculiar treasure, kingdom of priests and a holy nation, Exodus 19:5-6. They are his holy people, Deuteronomy 7:6-8. They had the covenant, circumcision, signs, the law, the promises. And then folks use 2 Chronicles 29. It is also being quoted concerning the coronavirus. If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, pestilence, there we go, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. There are four problems with us quoting these passages as though they are spoken to and about us. Firstly, no matter what you have heard, America is not God's people. All right, some folks might need to wrap back in their chair on that one. America is not God's people. No nation on earth today is God's people, even Israel. The church, the body of Christ, is God's people. Secondly, the verses in 2 Chronicles concern Solomon's temple, this house, in that verse, in Jerusalem. The Babylonians destroyed that temple more than 2,500 years ago. Thirdly, the land being healed is the land of Canaan and the land of Israel, not North America. Lastly, this is Israel, being cast out of that land because of her sin, breaking the old covenant with her pagan idolatry. In the centuries after King Solomon, the Babylonian and Assyrian captivities scattered the Jewish people around the world. How irresponsible we are to ignore such facts, rip these verses from their context, and make them God's words to us. Ripping verses from their context. So many folks frightened, and they're scared because of the coronavirus. My brothers and sisters, will God protect us from the coronavirus? That's what we're going to come in at next week. Will God protect us? And we got a few more to go. Then the next, when I get done with this, we're going to be talking about how do we pray for the sick? How do we pray for the sick? And how do we pray for the lost? That's going to be coming up. But my brothers and sisters, I hope you can see what taking, and if you don't write it via God's word, that's why you sit there and you're frightened and folks are scared, and they're scared of dying. They don't understand. Dying, we much better off when we die to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. We going on to be with the Lord. So if the coronavirus take me out of here, woo, hallelujah. What could be more better than going on to heaven with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all my loved ones and friends who have died in Christ? What could be more better? To live is Christ, and to die is gain. So we're going to continue next week. Let us pray. Father, here we thank you for your word tonight. We pray that as we all listen in and study the word together, that we understand the true meaning of what it means to rightly divide the word of truth. Because when we rightly divide your word, Lord, we will not be confused. We will understand who you are talking to. We will understand what you are doing today and what you are not doing today. We will not be walking around fearful because you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. We thank you for your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.